All right, nice to have you back here as we get ready for Giants and Braves. It is Max Fried today, Anthony DeSclafani, Disco on the hill for the San Francisco Giants as they go for the sweep. Let's bring in Adam Copeland. We love talking ball with you every weekend. And I'll ask you this, Friday night, what did you think Friday night when Darno hit the three-run homer? What went through your mind at that point?
Well, it's good to be on with you, Marty, and a fun Sunday of sports across the board today. And Giants, of course, have an opportunity to take this series in its entirety today. Friday night was crazy because Giants were up in that game, and then I'd actually gone out, had watched the beginning of that game, and went out with some buddies to celebrate a birthday. And then I get the notification that the home run was hit, so I immediately throw up my phone, and we start watching an extra innings. And I'm thinking, boy, there's no way they're going to come back and win this thing. Again, it's just for all the crazy, outlandish, insane ways the Giants have won games this year, that maybe is at the top. And it seems, Marty, like every single week we get a win that's like that. And then sort of what follows that up, and it's been like this over the last couple weeks, is feels like the Giants lose maybe once, maybe two times a week. And when they do lose, then we start trying to poke holes in what it is that they don't do well. But this is one of the best teams I've ever seen. I mean, again, going back to the 98 114 win New York Yankees, you can go 116 win 2001 Seattle Mariners. This is one of the best teams I've ever seen because of how they get it done across the board. And last night is more evidence of that, a two-run single, sort of a number single from Kurt Casale, and then Dominic Leone, next man up, steps in and closes the door last night. It's just been really, really fun to watch. And Friday, it seems like it didn't even happen. It seems like a dream, but the Giants just with another notch in their belt for 2021.
Well, they don't make mistakes, and they don't beat themselves. And defensively, last night, you know, Duggar's play in center field, and when he went over the wall and got the ball, brought it back and flipped it back, and Woe said this morning, and I didn't realize it, but Yastrzemski was running over from right field, and he almost caught it when Duggar flipped it back, and I hadn't really thought about that. But that's the kind of effort that they're getting defensively, and it starts with Crawford, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I want to say was it a couple of years ago, maybe last year, somebody asked Brandon Crawford about how many balls Brandon Belt had saved for him over his career. How many plays did you make, Crawford, where you threw a ball in the dirt? And I think every great Gold Glove infielder would tell you, if you're not a first baseman, that your first baseman helps you get those Gold Gloves. Like, first basemen should get credit at times. They should be a footnote sometimes on those Gold Glove awards, because a lot of times they do help you out. And Brandon Crawford, based on his leadership, his positioning in the field, his ability to come up with clutch hits at the plate and put together better at-bats than we'd ever seen at any point in his career before this season, has been really fun to watch. But to your point about Steven Duggar going up and bringing that ball back, I want to say he robbed a home run last week or had a close call on a home run where he went up and jumped and leapt at the wall and made the catch. He's a really you watch guys roam center field at times, and, like, you know how they say Willie Mays never dove because he was always in great position? I get that feeling about Steven Duggar. He doesn't lay out a lot because he's got great coverage in the outfield. He tracks the balls extremely well. And he's an athlete. You could see that by how he went up yesterday. And you're right, it was kind of like almost like an NFL tip throw. Like, if Mike Yastrzemski comes over and is able to make that catch, it's an out. And it was tough to see. I actually was impressed the umpires got that play right, because I thought maybe it hit off the top of the wall, maybe it bounced on something behind the wall. But it was a really nice play by Steven Duggar. Ultimately, who hit that? Was it Jorge Soler? I think it held Soler to a double. It was a really nice play. Yeah, really good play.
Well, it's good camera work. Jim Lynch, Jeff Kuiper, and the guys in the truck did a great job there on the camera work. As you could tell, when Duggar went over the fence, there was nothing there but his glove, and he flipped it back. But he made a play Friday night. You probably didn't see it in the gap. He ran down a ball Friday night. And he doesn't dive anymore because he's had so many separated shoulders. You don't want to see him diving and see him take it easy. But they need him out there. But for me, Gausman was the story on Friday night. And I was talking to Woe about it this morning. And, you know, Gausman didn't get any real signs. I mean, he was told just to go up there and just do what you do. And he had a good stroke. He swung the bat really well. And Woe held up Crawford on the first fly ball and then let him go on this one. And it worked out well. But Crawford slid across the plate. But, you know, when you circle moments of a season, that was it for me. That was the it game for me.
Yeah, I'm again 100% with you on it. Seems like these things just keep snowballing, and every great moment is a bigger moment and is a better moment. You're right. The Brandon Crawford slide, very David Bell 2002 of him. The aesthetics of that slide were really, really nice. As far as Kevin Gausman putting the ball in the air, one, it's incredible. He's just out there getting the job done. And I know coming in, he was one of the worst hitters as far as starting pitchers go across baseball for his career. And I think he made a joke after the game saying, I never pull the ball, which I frequently see him when he gets base hits, since he's a left-handed hitter, he'll poke the ball sort of a little slap single hit, like a Tony Gwynn hit going the other way almost, right through that six hole on the left side of the field. But I go back, I was immediately thinking about spring training when the pitchers were getting very few at-bats. The Giants used a DH for almost all of spring training, and they kept asking Gabe Kapler about that, and he kept saying, like, yeah, the guys will get their work in, they'll get their sack bunt attempts in, but based on how they've used the roster this year and how much pinch hitting they do and how infrequently you get to see pitchers hit, I think that part of their plan is that you just sort of minimize the amount of at-bats that those pitchers get. However, here's a situation where you could come down to the final day of the season here, Marty, and the Giants could win the division or lose the division by a game or tie the Dodgers and have to play a 163. And the difference in that record may end up being a sack fly from one of the worst hitting pitchers over the last few years in baseball. Everybody on the roster plays a role, and everybody's – I mean, that's just a baseball play. He's a ball player. I thought it was really cool that he put it up there as one of the all-time moments, not just in his career. He said in his life it was a really cool moment. And I don't know if you saw – the screenshot from his wife, I guess he had texted her after the game saying, babe, I hit a walk-off sack fly in the show, and she had, she had posted up the photo. I just thought it was so cool because we forget sometimes that these guys, you know, you think about him making $18 million and being a Cy Young candidate this year and having the greatest season of his career. These guys have these little accomplishments that they dreamt for this stuff as kids, just like all of us did. Everybody wants to have a big moment like that with the bases loaded, an opportunity to win a ball game or a full count in extra innings and you walk it off. Every kid who's ever picked up a bat and ball has thought about that in their backyard. So really cool moment for the Giants, but an even more special moment for Kevin Gausman.
Yeah, he got it done. It was just beautiful to see it. Just watching what he does. You know, they're going to win 100 games this week. And I predicted 107. I don't know if they're going to get there, but I think they've got a good shot to do it. But this team is going to win over 100 games. You could talk about, well, it was a great season. They won 89, and they got in the playoffs in 92. Adam, they're going to win like 107. How about that?
It's incredible. And again, Giants fans know. I mean, you think back to 1993, 103 wins and no postseason. And obviously the makeup of the postseason changed after that, from a wild card and how many teams would get in after the 94 strike and all that. But 107, I mean, this is unheard of. It's maybe the biggest surprise. Like, I'm trying to think about where you would place this in surprise seasons for sports. Like, teams come out of nowhere all the time, and you know, you get the team of destiny stuff. And baseball is maybe more conducive to that than any other sport, where, to your point, Marty, a team can get in with 89 wins and win a World Series. I think one of the Tony La Russa teams, 06 maybe, won a World Series with 83 wins or something like that, and had one of the worst records in baseball for a division winner, maybe the worst, and won a World Series. So as far as, like, trying to place this in surprise seasons, it's not like one guy came out and broke through and won an MVP, or one guy had an electric Cy Young season, and everybody knows that there are surprises that happen, but to put this together with this type of consistency, and they're pulling guys out of nowhere like Lamont Wade Jr. and Dom Leone is a great example of that. Tyler Rogers, a guy a couple of years ago who had spent seven years in the minor leagues, they're getting it done up and down the roster. And again, it took a while for us as fans, I think, to accept that this was the way baseball was moving and the way the Giants had to move, because they had gotten it done the old school way with Bruce Bochy and stable lineups. And sure, they played matchups, but the depth of the roster, the depth of the organization is something like we've never seen with the Giants before, which is incredible to say considering they have three world championships in the last 10 years.
Well, to put it in perspective, they've got the best turnaround record since the Boston Red Sox in 1946. In 45, the Boston Red Sox had a losing record. They turned it around and ended up going to the World Series and losing to the Cardinals. So you got to go back that far to figure out a team that had a losing record and then, you know, turned it around like this. But for surprise teams, I mean, the Red Sox in 67, the impossible dream. This was a team that came in ninth or 10th the year before and ended up winning the American League pennant. The Mets in 69, the lovable Mets, ended up winning the World Series. This one is right up there for a team that was expected to win 75 games. That's going to win 107. That to me is it. Now let's talk about DeSclafani a little bit. I think he's an unsung hero. I think he's been fabulous. He had a couple of, you know, bad games against the Dodgers, but you take them out of his equation, he has been just terrific, and he gets a big start today because the Dodgers are winning, and he goes up against a tough lefty, Max Fried.
Yeah, it's the first time in a while where the Giants have come into a game, it feels like, and the Dodgers are the team that have been winning. The Giants were playing all those games on the East Coast over the last couple weeks, and it seemed like every day that the Dodgers were starting a game knowing that they had to win to keep pace with the Giants, and now it's going to go the other way. But a great point you make about Anthony DeSclafani, because I think people sort of got soured on him after he had that incredible start and probably was an all-star game snub. I think he probably should have been out there based on how well he pitched in the first half. But as far as how people have viewed his season, he actually did have one really good start against the Dodgers. I think he went six innings against them, maybe his second-to-last start ago, and pitched fairly well. I think he's a guy, based on how thin this rotation has been, and obviously Alex Wood comes back last night, but they've you're talking 107 wins, Marty. They've been through the rotation like three times now with three starting pitchers, and Alex Wood going three innings. Like, yeah, you can get some bulk guys out of this, but you need to have a guy like DeSclafani to throw out there with Logan Webb, with Kevin Gausman to help carry the rotation, because they're going to need big innings out of these guys. You get into a five-game series or a seven-game series, this is a guy who could be pitching game three, game four, maybe a game six or game seven for you. You know, this is a guy that you'd expect big things from in the postseason. So it's just another great far-on find. But you're absolutely right in that everybody's looked at Gausman as the Cy Young candidate from earlier this year. And then you get into what Logan Webb has done, one of the hottest pitchers in baseball basically since May, and has put together some incredible numbers. And DeSclafani kind of gets forgotten, and he's been a really, really solid. Really, he's like the number three right now, but he's as good as any number two, I think, right now across the league.
He's been terrific, and he gives you a good game, and he'll give you, you know, six innings or more. As we only have about 45 seconds to go, Belt or Freeman, where do you go?
Tough one. Freddie Freeman may end up being a Hall of Famer. I really like Freddie Freeman, and that's not to take anything away from Brandon Belt. Brandon Belt having an incredible season with the glove and with the bat, and I think we're all really happy that he's up at, 26 home runs now, Marty?
26 and counting. I mean, you know, he's not done yet. You know, he's zeroed in. When he gets hot, you know, there's no stopping him. But it's a good question. You know, for me, Belt is an inning changer. Freddie Freeman is fabulous. But for me, you put Belt in the middle. When he's playing well, you put him in the middle of that order. He can carry the team.
I'll tell you what, I don't think Freddie Freeman's going to be on a 107-win team this year, Marty.
No, they'll be lucky to hang on here. Well, I think they'll be fine once they get
they'll
out of
right.
here because the Phillies are, you know, are coming up next. All right, we got to run. Adam, always good to talk to you, and be well, and I'll catch up with you next week.
You too, Marty. We'll talk later.
All right, that is Adam Copeland. All right, more coming up. We'll go to the booth next with the Hall of Famer, John Miller, right here, KMBR 680, 104.5, the sports leader.